It's Friday, March 30th, 2012, and welcome to episode 130 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you.
Well, this time I thought we'd talk a little bit about some of the new things going on in the world, as well as some of the old. So this will be a mixture of new and old.
Kind of pulling it all together.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always spend a lot of time talking about primary resources. And one of the things I always like to do in my classes, in fact, all my classes, I start off with an in the news segment.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of paying attention to what's going on in the world. And, you know, this week, the one thing that caught my imagination and, you know, things that were going on and in my professional learning network on Twitter, this is really how I found out about a lot of people just talking back and forth. But this week, James Cameron broke the solo dive record.
That was amazing.
And what he did was he did a submarine dive to the Marianas Trench, you know, the deepest place in the ocean.
Right.
Over 7 miles deep. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around, you know, how deep that is.
That's what you and I were just talking about, how long it takes to mm-hmm. get down there.
Yeah. And, you know, that's as deep as it is jet airplanes fly.
Right.
So
true. You know, I'd never thought about that.
And it's kind of this alien type environment. And you can kind of compare it to space, you know, outer space, because you have some of the same challenges of extreme environments.
And it's amazing how much we don't know
yes.
about the bottom of the ocean yeah. and all of that. And so I think that's a very exciting area that we're going to start seeing more and more exploration of. That's going to be great in the classroom.
So for classroom, for curriculum and things, there's all kinds of different ways that teachers can go with this. You know, whether science, math is a you know, just a natural tie-in. But just all of the challenges and also the bravery, you know, of somebody being able to do that. So I've got a little clip here, and I'll put a link in the show notes. This is a YouTube clip from National Geographic. He was working with National Geographic, so they have all this documentary film and, again, right. a primary source material out here. But just to kind of give the audience a feel, here's about a minute of the audio segment. So we'll just let this piece speak for itself, and I'll have a link in the show notes.
Great.
Pilot coming out.
National Geographic Explorer in Residence, James Cameron, has finished a record dive to the deepest part of the Earth's oceans.
Welcome back.
The Challenger Deep, which is only a small part of the Mariana Trench, is something like 50 times the size of the Grand Canyon. So, you know, this is a vast, you know, frontier down there that's going to take us a while to understand.
The dive follows 7 years of planning and the design and construction of a specialized state-of-the-art submersible for the deepest solo man dive in history.
The whole sub actually squeezes down almost 3 inches in length when it gets to the bottom of the ocean just because of the pressure. And the sphere that I'm in actually shrinks. The window that I look out actually pushes in toward me under 16,000 pounds per square inch of pressure.
Cameron spent more than 3 hours in the lowest point of the Mariana Trench, about 7 miles down, filming and documenting what he saw and taking samples.
All right, so we'll stop that there, but that just gives you just a little bit of a taste.
And I'm thinking National Geographic Explorer in Residence sounds like a pretty
cool
sweet
time.
Gig, yeah.
Well, I'm sure there might be room on that next trip. I don't know. I don't know that I would want to take that trip down.
Wow.
You know, especially talking about the glass pushing in and just, you know, the scientist, mathematician just going through those calculations. It's like, okay, how much pressure do we have to withstand?
There's a lot of mental training
yes.
that would have to go into
yes.
something like that. But, you know, he's been such a proponent. I mean, of course, he did the Titanic movie.
Right.
Which, you know, tying back to the Library of Congress thing, the 100-year anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic on April 14th.
Was
this
that
year.
That was 1912.
100, yep, yeah,
that just
100
hit.
Years ago.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of great primary sources on the Library of Congress website mm-hmm. if that's something people are going to talk about in their classroom.
Yeah.
On there. But, you know, he was active with that. And then when the oil spill down in the Gulf, mm-hmm. he was one of the people trying to come up with solutions to help stop that.
Mm-hmm.
He put a lot of his own money in.
Yeah.
So he really has used his powers for good in mm-hmm. that respect
mm-hmm.
to help with the environment and things.
Yeah, it's just amazing all the, you know, like I said, a 7-year planning for doing that particular Mission. And then if you do go out to the links in the show notes, there's some video of the actual ocean floor, and it's not completely barren. You know, I don't know what type of organisms are there. I don't think anybody does,
no.
Out there, but it's certainly a frontier out there. And, you know, that's just exciting. This particular episode got me thinking when I was teaching high school a long, long time ago, I'll date myself here, but we did an exercise with live television and cable television back then, you know, coming into the classroom. But the Voyager 2 was going, doing the explorations around Neptune. So it was a first close encounter of Neptune, and seeing those images back and forth and kind of having that tension in the air of like, well, we really don't know the trajectory because it was going to be coming in so many hundreds of thousands of miles of Neptune. And I remember the students being very excited, and it's like not really knowing, you know, what's going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. There's always that chance that right. something could happen.
Right. So, you know, these types of events always give you the opportunity to go out there and just tap into that student knowledge and something that's relevant to them today.
And sometimes you pique an interest in a student that had never thought of a career or a college path or something. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, I could do that for a job. And so anything out, especially outside of our own communities, it's nice to just show kids show our students what's out there beyond our town. And that way we love it when they stay, but if they choose that their gifts lie somewhere else, then at least they have that choice.
Another thing, you know, kind of switching here, so you can do it with the brand new things, items in the news, but you can also do that historically to kind of get your students thinking and empathizing with the way life was, you know, going through history. So we talked a little bit, you know, happened just this week, the record solo dive, deepest part of the ocean. And then, you know, we wanted to focus a little bit more on the Civil War because it's the 150th anniversary of that. And I know you have all kinds of Library of Congress resources. But, you know, one of these things that's always fascinates me with learning is whenever you're learning something new, you start paying attention a little bit more, you'll catch items in the news, you know, that serendipity, which really is not, you're just paying attention.
Right. And sometimes you realize how history repeats itself.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I just read about this. And a conversation you and I had when we started talking about this topic was, yeah, there was a book written about President Lincoln's T-mails. Because he was the first president to use telegrams.
Yeah, with the telegraph.
And telegraph to communicate with the battlefields and that. And so it was this brand new frontier.
Which completely, you know, a brand new experience, being able to communicate with the generals.
Sure.
And, you know.
Instead of waiting for someone to deliver that information.
2 or 3 days later on horseback.
Exactly. Yes. And the situation could be completely different by the time they got the message. And so those telegraph messages are in the Library of Congress, and you can find them in digital format. And we look now at President Obama tweeting, you know.
That was the other thing. James Cameron tweeted from the bottom of the ocean. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. He gets a signal down there?
Had all that communication. We have all the video. So it's just, you know, probably a fiber optic cable, I'm guessing.
I don't 7 miles. I don't get a good cell signal at my house, but he got one there.
Yeah. The other thing, I don't know if you caught it, you know, speaking of just items that catch your interest and things, and I caught this because I follow the Library of Congress Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, they've got 2 or 3 different ones.
They do.
And I came across an article from the Washington Post, and there's this very famous picture of a soldier that has been, you know, unnamed, you know, unknown. And this week, or in the last couple of weeks, I saw that mystery was solved. Did you see that one?
I saw your tweet.
Okay.
I was on vacation, you know.
Yes. So.
And so I didn't go to it and look at it, but I saw your tweet and I thought, wow, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever I tweet out a message like that, I'll provide a link that goes to the actual article. And again, you kind of have this circle going on here, this circle of learning. But that led me, the Washington Post actually has a Twitter account that they are tweeting out, you know, 150 years later, what would be happening, you know, in the Civil War.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of, you know, a history as it happens 150
years later.
After the fact. So it's really interesting seeing those. And I've done, you know, there's several different historical Twitter accounts out there. John Quincy Adams, I follow one for World War II. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting seeing like a tweet from Winston Churchill, you know, saying here's the bombing raids and here's the casualty numbers and things.
Right.
It just kind of gives you, it makes it a little more real.
And it also helps. One of the things I found that I never did before, I really like timelines. Mm-hmm. And that because often I'll think of an event that's happening in one place and I'll put it by itself. And when I can see a timeline that has different, even like pop culture things and mm-hmm. that, it really changes my perspective because all of a sudden I see, well, this was happening.
Well, it provides that context.
Right. And so you see, again, you see that big picture mm-hmm. that we all, you know, are a part of mm-hmm. every day. And so, yeah, things like that really help. You can get two tweets that happened on the same day from different agencies or historical organizations. And you're like, oh my gosh, I never realized those two things happened. I think, I want to say that Charles Darwin and Abraham Lincoln were born on like the same day or something like that. And mm-hmm. it's like, wow, I never put those two mm-hmm. in the same era.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It never crossed my mind mm-hmm. before. So it's good to get those diverse feeds that you can get on Twitter. Pay as much attention or as little mm-hmm. as you want, depending on how much time you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, so, yeah, it's a lot of fun to do it that way.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's share some of the primary resources and some of the resources that you have from the Library of Congress this time, again, related toward the Civil War.
Well, I went through and found a couple of things geared towards three different audiences because I thought that's important for people to be aware of. One is teachers. We know there's a teacher's page. And on that teacher's page, you know, we have lesson plans, primary source sets. There's an Abraham Lincoln primary source set, as well as a Civil War music primary source mm-hmm. set. So teachers can find these things already put together. They don't have to do it themselves. And then there's just a huge list of lesson plans and things that are there. But beyond that, sometimes we like to give our students, you know, we create pages that our students use for homework links or families and things like that. And they also have the main reading room, which is more for researchers. And they have a list of things as well that are Civil War maps, Confederacy maps. One of the coolest things that I've got to do with this job is I got to go into one of the vaults of the Library of Congress.
Oh, wow.
And they had Civil War.
Have to wear the white gloves?
We didn't have to wear them. I was shocked. But it's all temperature controlled.
Yeah.
But they pulled out one of the books that's the maps of the Civil War mm-hmm. that was actually used in the battles. And I was amazed. They looked like watercolor paintings.
Yeah.
They were very pretty, not, yeah. you know, our highway maps that we have today.
Yeah.
And that, but these, you know, that were being preserved and now are digitized that mm-hmm. people can go out there and get. And so you can go into the researcher, you can go into the teacher's page. But they also have in America's Story or America's Library. If you recommend that family and children and family, I think, is the link. But it's in there, and you can go from the Library of Congress homepage where you have the teacher page on the right side. There's also that one for families. And in that, there's America's Library, America's Story from America's Library. And it presents information in a way for younger students. So when you have text, there's maybe three paragraphs. It's presented in more of a story format. And so, but it has, you know, it's the same primary sources that we present for older students and adults. It's just presented in a slightly different way. Mm-hmm. And so you can look at, you know, the Battle of Antietam, America's most tragic battle, and find that. Because there's a section called Jump Back in Time, and it's a big timeline again.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at that, and there's a Civil War section. And so you have these different audiences that mm-hmm. information's created for mm-hmm. that you can check out. So, you know, sometimes we think, well, only older students can use the Library of Congress website. And it's not true. Younger students can too, and we're trying to teach them those research skills mm-hmm. early. And so it's just kind of cool how the library presents for these different audiences mm-hmm. that it is the same material.
Mm-hmm.
But they know who that audience is, mm-hmm. and they're trying to reach them in different ways.
Yeah. As we come up on summertime and, you know, parents and children will be going off on vacations, I think it would be a really good resource, too. I know when my children were smaller, we would, you know, go to the different national parks and things
right.
and Civil War battles just to do a little bit of research and things up front to find out a little bit more about it. Plus, another thing that I've seen a lot of teachers start to do is, you know, many teachers have their own blog. So they'll actually go out, you know, to a Civil War battlefield and take their own pictures and once again, you know, experience that.
Share those.
And, you know, you'd be surprised, you know, just having that communication back and forth with the students, even though school's out completely and everything, mm-hmm. but we're still kind of teaching out there, you know.
Take the teacher out of the classroom, yeah. but you can't take the classroom out of the teacher, yeah. right? I've seen some really cool activities done with Google Maps.
Oh, yeah.
Where they've tagged,
yeah, tagged the photos
and gone through and tagged the photo, added the photo, and then did routes or, mm-hmm. you know, and all that. And that's really cool, too, because it just, again, it's the information, but we're presenting it in different ways to meet those needs of different learning styles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all do every day.
Yeah. And, you know, relating back to the Google Maps and things, I'm not sure, you know, how many people are, you know, realize this, but particularly your smartphones and things, they have the GPS built in. So they're automatically tagged with, you know, latitude and longitude out there for doing that. And I mean, it's that metadata out there that's kind of hidden, but mm-hmm. there are people using that, as you said, with the Google Maps. So that's kind of interesting.
It's really neat. And it's just some of it also is offering students unique ways to present mm-hmm. information instead of writing a report or just doing a presentation in front of the class. That if they can create, you know, a map or something like that, mm-hmm. that again, they're developing those media literacy skills that mm-hmm. they need. But it's also fun because we all like to do something different once in a while.
Yeah, plus you're contributing, you know. You're sure. contributing out there and that authentic learning that others may be seeing your work. So, you right. know, having that pride in your work to go out there and do a little bit better job.
Absolutely. So, again, you know, and I just showed you a sheet. There was a blog entry about prices and salaries during the Civil War. So we try to pull in these different components to make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just talking to a gentleman from the American Legion about another project we're doing. And I said, what we want to do is we want to present this information to our students, but how do we make a 12-year-old understand that they should want to learn mm-hmm. about the Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's not something that's on their mind right at this moment. And mm-hmm. so if we can find a way to connect to them at a personal level, and sometimes it's the bizarre. You know, mm-hmm. when we did military medicine during the Civil War, sometimes it's a gross out factor.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just the family and community link. But however we can find to present it, that we can make them realize mm-hmm. this is real. This just isn't something you need to memorize. This right. is real.
Right.
And how can we learn from our past?
Right. And we can do those things, you know, with our local communities. But there's also the opportunity with, you know, a little bit of enabling of technology with Skyping with another classroom or something.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I've done projects in the past with that where I kind of have my classers serve as the research group. And like you said, you know, sometimes we take for granted we live in an area that everybody kind of knows about, you know, this particular area, but that's not necessarily true.
Right.
And then you get these questions from, you know, somebody halfway across the country. And that's just a really neat learning opportunity to share things back and forth.
And you just see it through different eyes sometimes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it is funny because when you live someplace, you don't see what's right in front of you.
What's special about here? I've lived here all my life.
Exactly. So, yeah. So I encourage people to take a look at that.
Okay.
And check it out because there's some great tools that they can use in their classroom. That's just something unique they can do.
Okay. Well, we'll get these links out there and posted, and it might be a couple of days we're recording this, so it might be early next week when I get those up, but we'll certainly get them up in the show notes.
Very good.
Okay, we're back for our technology picks of the week, and since we were talking about both the new and the old, I think I'm going to mention two tech picks this week. Regarding the Civil War, I just happened to come across, again, once, you know, it's great to have a great PLN out there, but I came across a tweet about Civil War era recipes, and this is an ebook available for free on the Kindle. So if you go out to the Amazon store and do a search for Civil War era recipes, there's a free ebook out there for you, and I'll also provide a link in the show notes. And for my new technology pick of the week, I want to go back to the James Cameron Deep Challenger deep sea dive, and I'm going to make the YouTube channel for National Geographic. I'll have a link directly to that because there's many videos out there, and I think think I mentioned incorrectly that, you know, he tweeted from the bottom of the ocean. He actually didn't tweet until he got until he got back to the surface. But they were shooting all kinds of different 3D type videos. And I just can't wait because National Geographic does such a fantastic job. But, you know, they're certainly going to put together, you know, a 1 or 2 hour spatial on this deep sea dive.
It'll be really very cool to see.
And just reading up on some of the technology, they were using stereoscopic cameras, you know, so they were able to take some scientific measurements and measure depth and things. So, and like I said, I'll mention this, I'll put the link in the show notes to the YouTube videos, just some fantastic, you know, video footage out there. So those are my two.
Very good. Well, I sort of went with an old standard that has been around for a little while. That I've been interested in, and that's the Google Lit Trips, the site that has those. You know, in my past life, I was a language arts teacher, so of course these appealed to me. Now with the Library of Congress program, it struck me as kind of funny that it was Google Lit Trips when we usually immediately think of social studies when we think of maps. I was looking at this, and they had some wonderful social studies connections with the books that they were using. We're working on some information with the Holocaust right now, and there's a brand new updated version of Night, which is a Holocaust era book, and that so it does connect the social studies with that. And there is another page that links off of that that's historical voyages and events that has history. But as I looked at it, it's awesome, and it's a great way to present information, but it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
And that's something is in our classrooms, we just don't have time for students to devote 2 weeks to create something like this. So that's where I think it's important also that we make our pre-service teachers here on campus and that aware that having students do all of this in paper and pen form or written or online in a, you know, document and that, and then we put it on to these things. So go through the whole process of planning and creation so and they don't end up spending.
Right. And I do know several teachers that really get into Google Earth and the Google Maps, and it does take a while to get up to speed to get that learning curve because they have these KML, you know, we're talking about this geolocation.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not that complicated. It, like, as you say, it's just time consuming getting up to speed with that.
It is. And you know, our time is valuable in the classroom. And so to do, I think that's something that we as teachers find a lot. We have these really neat things that we want to do in the classroom. Where do we find the time to do them?
Yeah.
And so we have to be really picky about what we pull into our we fit in and what we have to cut out to make it fit. So we still get everything we need to get into one day and that. So I'm looking at these. I'm trying to maybe figure out some easier ways.
Yeah, we'll provide some links in the show notes there directly to those.
Great.
And, you know, having said that, once you create those are free and available out there for everybody to share. So that's, you know, once again, the great thing about the digital technologies, we can share it with just a link
and
out there.
Teachers are wonderful about sharing.
Yes.
It's something about our profession that we should be very proud of because we do help each other out quite a bit.
Yep. Okay, well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming in again this week. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. This has been episode 130 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.